Hello and welcome to the Print Pod. My name is Suchet Veer Singh and I wrote an article titled How Indigenous is Indigenous in India's Defense Production? Rhymes are Blurred in Globalized World. I will be now bringing you the podcast version of this article. Over the last few years, there has been an institutional pivot towards prioritizing indigenous military manufacturing and procurement in India. Two large-scale commissions in 2022 of the country's first indigenous aircraft carrier, INS Vikrant, and the first indigenous attack helicopter, LCH Prachand, have epitomized this philosophical change. In April this year, the Army announced that the Defense Research and Development Organization and private firm Larsen & Toubro would manufacture the prototype for another indigenous system, the Zoravar Light Tank. However, an analysis by The Print has highlighted that these indigenous weapon systems do include imported components that are integrated and are not exclusively made in India, a logical and valid reality. Even major defense producers such as the United States and France import weapon systems. This points to a larger question: how indigenous is indigenous in India's defense production? While the government has done well to promote domestic military manufacturing, there is also an acknowledgement within the establishment that everything cannot be manufactured domestically. There will have to be some imports. Anit Mukherjee, associate professor at Nanyang Technological University, Singapore, told The Print. As a result, even if you see the positive military indigenization lists issued by the government, they make provisions for certain imports. At times, the economies of scale do not allow domestic manufacturing of weapon systems. In these times, you have to import, Mukherjee added. Alluding to the above sentiment, a Delhi-based defense analyst said, "It's rather hard to develop an advanced weapon system with only technology and components from one country. Imports of the best technologies help make the system more efficient. In a globalized economy, with deep supply chain linkages, some components will invariably be imported. This can be either due to better efficiency in procuring it from abroad or unavailability in the manufacturing country," the analyst, who did not wish to be named, told The Print. In August last year, given the precarious situation with China in eastern Ladakh, the Indian Army launched Project Zoravar to develop an indigenous light tank that could be used for quick deployment and fast movement in high altitudes, including Ladakh and Arunachal Pradesh. Consequently, India's DRDO and private firm L&T joined hands to develop the tank under the Zoravar project. Then, in April 2023, DRDO and L&T were given the order to manufacture a prototype of the tank for the Army. The project for the Indian light tank will provide a unique opportunity to the indigenous defense industry to come together and realize a truly designed and developed in India initiative, said a brief from the Army's integrated headquarters. Though widely described as indigenous, the Zoravar tank will be powered by an engine developed by a German manufacturer, MTU Aero Engines, which is a subsidiary of defense conglomerate Rolls-Royce. Further, mounted on its hull will be a 105mm gun turret made by John Cockerill, a Belgian engineering company. Essentially, two central fulcrums of the Zoravar: the engine that will make the tank maneuver through mountainous terrain and its gun will both be imported. Despite these direct inclusions from abroad, the tank will be called indigenous. Labeling something indigenous or not is largely a political decision. There is no empirically correct answer to what is indigenization, Walter Radwick, a military scholar and lecturer at King's College London, told The Print. The percentage threshold you apply, whether you measure indigenous in terms of the number of components, their financial value, or some other metric, determines the classification. These are all choices made by the analyst who wants to argue for one status or the other, he explained. Beyond the labeling of a weapon system as indigenous, the economics is central to its manufacturing. Mukherjee explained this in context of the indigenous manufacturing of the Zoravar. With the Zoravar, the economies of scale will only be efficient if the government orders sufficient numbers to offset the costs of setting up the factory line and production in India. Otherwise, the finances will not allow manufacturing the tank from scratch in India, he said. Further, it is not only about domestic manufacturing, but also exports. Defense companies that export are successful. That should be the idea with the Zoravar as well, though only from an economic lens. The strategic aspect may prevent this, Mukherjee explained. However, the Zoravar's adoption of foreign technology for critical components isn't necessarily a new concept in India's defense manufacturing. Aircraft, helicopters, and aircraft carriers produced in India have all integrated foreign technology. The engine of the country's first indigenously built light combat aircraft, LCA Tejas, is made by American conglomerate General Electric. The fighter, which took around 3 decades to be commissioned, relies on a foreign engine. Two significant indigenous regulatory developments from 2022 further symbolize this import dependence. In September last year, Prime Minister Narendra Modi commissioned India's first domestically built aircraft carrier, INS Vikrant. Vikrant was built with 76% indigenization components. While significant, this implied that 24% would still be imported, a significant figure. According to reports, this 24% included imports for the aircraft carrier's critical aviation facility complex, the area responsible for maintaining and operating the fighters of the battleship. The imports of the aviation complex, reports explained, included arrestor gears, short takeoff but arrested recovery systems for their launch and recovery of fighters, and related aircraft handling equipment from Russia. Further, the ship's two aircraft rifts were also imported from the United Kingdom, along with the hangar doors being brought from Sweden. Later in September 2022, the first indigenous light combat helicopter, Prachand, was commissioned into the Air Force. Its indigenous content is estimated to go up from 45% to 55% in time. However, the chopper's attack component, its air-to-air missiles, will be Mistral II launchers manufactured by European missile maker MBDA. Even the indigenously manufactured advanced light helicopter Dhruv has significant import dependencies, though it is deemed to have 55% domestically made content. As Air Marshal Anil Chopra wrote in the Indian Defence Review Journal early this year, some essential systems of the ARH are still imported from the UK, Israel and France. Its aluminium alloys, composite materials, avionics and weapons are also imported. The aero engine, which accounts for nearly 30% of the aircraft cost, is still turbo mecha led and is import dependent, Chopra added. While the INS Vikrant, LCH and ARH reflect India's growing indigenous military production capacity, and they all include or will include more than 50% domestically manufactured military content, the data reflects that a significant volume of imported components was integrated into the final systems. India, however, is not the only country to be dependent on imports for its weapon systems. Major defense producing nations such as the US and France, with large military industrial complexes, depend on foreign supplies. According to data from the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, between 2018 and 2022, the US imported 365 engines, 271 missiles and 50 naval weapons. France in the same period imported 367 aircraft, 108 engines and 14 missiles. Explaining this reality, Lieutenant General Satish Dua, retired former chief of the Integrated Defense Staff, told the print, "In a globalized world, no military can be 100% self-sufficient. However, India should be predominantly indigenous and have a robust military industrial base," he asserted. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode of The Print Pod. That's it for now.